You know, folks, there are a lot of things in life that can bring great joy, but they also require great determination and persistence, don't they? Really wonderful things don't just drop in our laps. At least that's not really been my experience. Usually it's something that has required some hard work and determination and persistence. It's been said, too, that any goal that is worth achieving requires hard work and discipline. Now, we know that this is true in life. But have you ever thought about that in terms of the Christian life, that that's true as well? That anything that really is worth achieving, or any good thing, any good goal, that too requires hard work and discipline. There are some parts of the Christian life that indeed are very rewarding, but requires determination and persistence. I'm going to ask you something here in a moment, a question. And if your answer to this question is yes, I don't want you to be ashamed, because I want you to know you're not the only one in the room. The question is this: have you ever been surprised at how difficult it can be at times to be faithful in prayer? You ever surprised at how difficult it can be to pray and to be faithful in prayer? Or maybe have you ever felt a little guilty that you don't share your faith more often than you do? Boy, those two things, they come up and they've haunted me. I'm sure they've haunted a lot of us here. Why is it so hard sometimes to pray, to be faithful in that? Why don't I share that faith, that hope, that good news more often than I do? Well, again, you're not alone in that. All of us, I think, have struggled with that to one degree or another. And not just those of us here this morning. When I say that we all have struggled, I'm talking about all of God's people now and all of God's people throughout the ages. Because the fact is that devotion in prayer and faithful proclamation of the gospel, the good news, these things require discipline. Now, they bring great joy and reward, but sometimes we simply have to will ourselves to do them. And I hope today that you'll find some encouragement then for your prayer life and for your witness. We are continuing then in our study of the book of Colossians as we near the end here in chapter 4, getting to some concluding commandments or things that Paul has told these believers that they should be doing as followers of Jesus Christ. And we see a theme here of prayer and proclamation, of being devoted and faithful in prayer, and of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, taking that message to people who desperately need to hear it. And so we'll see then that the growing follower of Jesus Christ is devoted to prayer and faithful proclamation of the gospel. We've seen in this study how Jesus Christ is supreme, how he has delivered us and rescued us by his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave, how we are to be careful about guarding that truth and avoiding error, staying away from false teachings, false doctrines, and holding strongly to the truth that is in Jesus. And then the call then for us as believers in Jesus to live that life out through faith and the power of the Spirit. How we are new creations. We are new people in Jesus Christ. And we are to take off the old, dirty, sinful attitudes and habits and practices and things we say. To put all of that stuff off and to put on the new. And that as believers in Jesus Christ then, one of the ways that this will show is in how we conduct ourselves with other people, that our relationships will be redeemed, that we'll live in a way that is pleasing to God in the church, how we treat one another in the church, in the home with husbands and wives, parents, children, and that then too will be faithful in the workplace, that we will have devoted and redeemed relationships, devoted to one another, honoring Christ. Today, then, prayer and proclamation. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to the book of Colossians chapter 4? Colossians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 2 through 6. And I know some of you are thinking, boy, after last week's marathon session here with all those themes and all those verses, and some of you thinking, he's not going to make it. We did. So now today's a piece of cake here with verses 2 through, only four verses here. So we're going to make it. We're going to make it today then. As Paul begins to wind down this letter here, another concern comes to his mind for what devoted followers of Jesus ought to do. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Prayer and proclamation. The first theme here is prayer. How many of you have heard a message before or a sermon on prayer? Raise your hand if you've heard a message or anything. Okay. I think we've all heard the messages. Is there a problem with our knowledge of these things and knowing it? Probably not. Now, I think when we're very young in the faith, we learn and we need to be instructed in these things. But there comes a point in our walk where we know these things. It's just simply a matter of doing it. And so that's why today here, you're going to have an opportunity. Now, don't get nervous, okay? Don't get nervous. But we're going to have an opportunity to apply this right here and right now. It's not just going to be me talking and saying, we need to pray. Yep, is everybody on board with that? Yeah, we need to pray. We're going to do that. We're going to do that today too. First thing he tells us in prayer then is to be devoted, to be devoted. Now that word devoted, it literally means to be courageously persistent. Courageously persistent. When you're devoted, you are focused in, you are locked in on it, and you are going to do it, and you're going to be persistent and not give up no matter what. That's what we're being told here to do, to be devoted to prayer, to be courageously persistent, to grab a hold of it and not let go. Grab a hold of it and not let go. If you will, imagine it's like grabbing a hold of the throne of God and not letting go. It's the picture here, being persistent, refusing to give up. I wonder, are there people in your life, or is there a particular cause in your life, or maybe is there some kind of activity in your life to which you are devoted? We can be devoted to all kinds of things, can't we? Hobbies, relationships, a particular cause. When we're devoted to that, we hold on to it and we don't let go. We're persistent and we keep at it. In the same way, we're told, do that with prayer. Take hold of the throne of God's grace and don't let go. Persist. Don't abandon. Don't give up. Don't let discouragement or distractions get in the way. Be devoted to it. You continue on. You are steadfast and you are persistent. You refuse to give up. That's the kind of attitude we have toward prayer. Now, there are a lot of distractions. What are some of the distractions we might face in prayer? Because we all say, oh, yep, I need to do this. I need to be faithful in prayer. But inevitably, then, things arise, little things we call distractions. What are some of the distractions? I'm going to let you preach some of this sermon here this morning. Television, there you go. Okay. It's like, oh, what's the, okay, now I know this is other people. This isn't me, okay? This is only other people, right? But you ever find yourself, it's like, well, okay, well, it's time to open up the Word and pray. But, you know, I wonder if there's any update on the same news story that I've been listening to for the last 2 hours here. Let me check that. It's like, oh, okay, something else. Folks, I am a news junkie. I'm afraid to tell you how much time I waste. How much time I engage in watching the same news stories over and over again. Now, it's good for us to be informed what's going on in the world, right? But I waste a lot of time. That's a distraction, the television. Well, there are kinds of things that distract us from being devoted and persistent in prayer. I saw something over here just a moment ago. Cell phone, okay. All right, communications, people. Sometimes we're praying, and it's like now, not only is the phone going off now, but now we've got the texting that's going off constantly all the time. Now, here I'm showing a little bit of the generation gap here. You know, I'm not quite sure I understand this huge phenomenon of texting that, you know, those young people, you young people, what you do. But now we've got that now, too. I forgot the exact statistic here on it, but something like the, for texting, oh, and I'm probably going to be way out, but it was an astounding number. The average number of texts that a teenager sends every month, I mean, it's like thousands of these, thousands of texts easily, every month. So there's a distraction. What other kinds of things can be distracting in prayer, keep us from being devoted? Yep.
Too much work.
Too much work. Okay, that's right. That we're always, it's hard to be devoted when we're busy working all the time, and then we get home, we're tired, exhausted from that. Okay? The Cubs, did you say? Yeah. Actually, I think the Cubs are a cause for prayer, you know, so. But, Cubs is a waste of time, yeah. We're perilously close to that. Well, actually, I think we're already there, but, you know, yes. We're not mathematically there yet, but we're there. So there can be all kinds of things. Sometimes good things. Like, it's nothing wrong with enjoying or following a sports team. But there can be all kinds of things that distract us from being devoted and persistent in prayer. We can get disappointed too, can't we? We've prayed, you know what, we have been faithful. We have been steadfast and persistent, and then there just comes a day when you just kind of like, you know, is this really making any difference? We don't see the answers. Or we don't see the answer we'd like, and we can get disappointed. Even a little upset with God. You know what, I've been upset with God before. I didn't like some of his answers. You know what, I've never been a person who has struggled with, if you will, this sense of unanswered prayer, like God just isn't hearing it. I've never had a sense that he wasn't hearing or wasn't answering. You know what my problem has been is sometimes I just don't like the answer I'm getting. And so sometimes we can be discouraged or disappointed. Maybe even a little angry with God, because that's not the answer I wanted. So there are distractions, there are disappointments. And that's the kind of thing I think that Paul has in mind, then he tells us then, to be devoted, to be courageously persistent, to keep on and not give up. It's true that prayer can be hard work sometimes, isn't it? And we can be just plain lazy. There's another element. Again, here we're told, don't let those distractions get the better of you. Keep on praying, even if you don't see the answer immediately forthcoming, or even if you don't like that answer. Be persistent in prayer, even when the lazy flesh within you wants to do something else. So be devoted, courageously persistent in prayer, not giving up. You're told something else in here with prayer to be devoted to, also to be watchful. To be watchful. Now, this word literally means to keep awake. to stay awake. Now, I think that's true. Has anyone here ever fallen asleep in prayer? Okay. Yeah. Has anyone here ever fallen asleep in here, in this room, Sunday morning? Yeah. It takes it's an effort to keep awake even sometimes physically, isn't it? Because we're so exhausted. But I don't think that's the only thing that's in mind here, is just physically stay awake. It's a spirit of mental alertness, being aware and watchful of what's going on in your life and the lives of people around you, staying sharp. And this sometimes requires an act of the will, an overt act of the will. We have to pray, and we have to discipline that mind to stay focused and to stay sharp. I heard a story one time. A wonderful pastor and an author by the name of Kent Hughes. And he was talking about how he has struggled in prayer too, just like everyone else. And he tells a story about how there's this part of us that is the will, that part of us that determines to do things, to make choices. Then there is the mind. Then there is the heart or the emotions. And the will, the mind, and the heart, these are all involved in prayer, aren't they? So he tells the story here of one day, I've decided I'm going to be devoted to prayer. I'm going to be persistent in it. I'm not going to give up. So he sets out. And of course, it's not long, and before what do you know, there's the mind off somewhere else, out on the golf course, which is another cause for prayer for me. But off wandering somewhere else, distracted, maybe worried about something. And there's the heart, just kind of like, oh, I don't want to do this. Like it's being dragged along reluctantly. And of course, eventually the mind and the heart get the better of the will and drag it away. And now his will is out there on the golf course too. We're feeling, I don't want to do this. And okay, let's flip on the television and see what else has developed in that news story. But he decides to keep going. So he keeps persisting in it. And one day then will, out of sheer determination, and I might say with a little help from the Spirit of God, actually I'll say a lot of help from the Spirit of God, the will says to the mind, nope, I'm not going with you. You're coming back here with me. And then the heart kind of gets dragged back along then too. And you know, something starts to happen in his life when he experiences the joy of that communion with God, when he's watchful in prayer and seeing how God is answering that prayer, becomes a more joyful experience. And day after day then will persists, and eventually mind and heart fall into line. It's like they say, and so one day then the mind and the heart that are so prone to wander just say, well, he's going into prayer again. We might as well go now because he's just going to drag us right back in with him anyway. So they go back in, and he continues and he persists, and then one day something amazing happens. All of a sudden the mind and the heart don't have to be dragged in. In fact, they are eager to pray. The mind is engaged in this and says, this is wonderful. And the heart rejoices because the will has been persistent in saying, we are going to do this. So being watchful, keeping awake, staying alert, staying sharp, being watchful of what is happening around us, taking those things to God in prayer, being alert to his answers to those prayer. And then there's another spirit or attitude here of being thankful. Being thankful. Be thankful before you pray. Be thankful while you pray. And be thankful after you pray. Be thankful that God is good. Be thankful that God hears. Be thankful that He will answer according to His will. Be thankful for His promises in prayer. You know, I'd mentioned before we are doing a little study and the Wednesday night Bible study of just some selected promises of God regarding prayer. I put down a few and I thought, okay, here's one night's worth that became two nights and could have easily become three or four, but here's just a few select promises of God. Prayer, do you need some encouragement this morning in prayer and what God says in His Word? Here's just a few. God hears and answers the prayers of the righteous. God cares about your anxiety. God gives peace to those who pray instead of worry. God forgives our sin. We can approach God boldly through Jesus, our high priest, who understands our needs. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful. God honors faith. God honors prayer in the name of Jesus. God honors prayer with right motives. And God honors persistent prayer. Ask, seek, knock. And when we see that ask, seek, knock, the idea of that is this. We might translate that ask and keep on asking. Keep on asking. Don't give up. Knock and keep on knocking. You ever had someone come to your door that you really didn't want to see or talk to and they just kept knocking? Uh-oh, I just maybe gave away a secret, didn't I? But gets irritating after a while, doesn't it? That's what Jesus tells us to do in prayer. Ask and keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. Seek, keep on seeking. Don't give up. Proclamation, pray. Pray for opportunities. Pray for opportunities. For what? Opportunities to proclaim or share the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Does anyone doubt the tremendous need there is around us here in this community, this nation, this world? You know, I saw something in the news, speaking of all the time I spend watching the news. I did see something. It was very sad, but I thought it was ironic. You see the story, there was this young man who he'd killed his wife in a horrible way. He had been a contestant on a television reality show. He killed his wife and the police were looking for him. And they finally found him. He killed himself. He committed suicide. You know what struck me about it, though? You know where he was found, the town he was in, where he ran off to, where he killed himself? He was originally from Canada, so he'd gone to this town in British Columbia called Hope. Killed himself in Hope, British Columbia. Folks, there are a lot of hopeless people out there, and they need to hear. They need to hear from you. It's God who saves people, not you, not me, but God gives us the privilege of participating with Him in rescuing and delivering men and women from hopelessness and death and despair. So pray, and pray for opportunities. Paul asked for prayer. Pray that open a door for us, that there would be opportunities. Just that right moment when you know, here's my opportunity to connect with that person. Pray for opportunities. Pray for clarity. I wonder, can you clearly explain the gospel? Someone asked you, what is the gospel? What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be saved? Could you clearly explain that? Or can you adapt it to the particular situation of a person to whom you might be witnessing and make it clear and relevant to them? I think that's what's in mind here when Paul says to pray for clarity, Did Paul understand what the gospel was? Of course he did. But when he asked for clarity, it means so that he can proclaim it or speak it in a way that the person, it's clear to them and they understand. So pray for opportunities and pray that God would help you to be clear in that, to be sensitive to the needs of the person you're talking to and where they're at. We need the help of the Holy Spirit in doing this, don't we? Live wisely. Live wisely among unbelievers. We don't testify only with our words. We testify by how we live. Do we live wisely? That is, in conformity with God's word, God's will, and God's wisdom. But does Jesus show through in how you conduct your life? You know, I think that's an even more powerful testimony than our words, is how we live. Does Jesus show through? Does his light shine through you? Is your life attractive to unbelievers through good times? I mean, when I say it's attractive, I don't mean just that because everything's always great. I mean that even when things are tough, they see Jesus in you, especially when things are tough. Pray for opportunities. Pray for clarity. Live wisely among unbelievers as Jesus show through in how you live. Make the most of every opportunity. Pray for those opportunities to share. And then make the most and take advantage of it. Don't let that opportunity slip by. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit prompting you to say something to that person and you know it? You obeyed it. And oh, the joy you knew that you experienced. God spoke to you. You obeyed. And then God spoke to that person through you. Let's make the most of those opportunities. Speak graciously and effectively. Speak graciously and effectively. Can you speak clearly, but then can you speak it in such a way with grace and kindness? With salt means to be pure and penetrating and effective, speaking to the need of the moment in that person's life. Be devoted in prayer. Proclaim the gospel. Praying for opportunities, praying for clarity, living wisely, making the most of every opportunity, speaking graciously and effectively. I've told you this isn't just a sermon about prayer. This is an opportunity to pray. We always see this slide comes up at the end. That means, okay, sermon's over. Pastor prays, sing the song, we're out of here, right? Well, I want you to pray today. I want you to pray today. I've challenged us here before with sometimes just a short one or two sentence prayer. And I'd like to hear from you today. Let's pray today. Let's not just talk about this. Let's do this right now. Amen. I appreciated that back there. So I want to start. Whoever would like to, and say, Lord, we praise you for. So let's close our eyes, thank the Lord for what he's done, and say, Lord, we praise you for. Maybe there'd be a couple that would like to give thanks this morning. Lord, we praise you for what? Amen. Amen. Lord, we praise you for our freedom.
Lord, we praise you for the freedom we have in
Jesus. Amen. Lord, we praise you for the freedom we have in Jesus Christ. He has set us free from sin and death, given us eternal life. One more. Lord, we praise you for what? Lord, we praise you for the power that you've shown that transforms our lives through your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Spirit, Lord. And there was another one over here. We praise you for what, Jim? We praise you for all of the promises that you've given us. Amen. Lord, we give you praise for the faithful proclamation by your Spirit decades through this church. Amen. You can work through every situation and circumstance in our lives. Amen. Lord, you do have good plans for us. Plans to give us a future and a hope. Amen. Amen. Lord, we pray you care more for our character than our comfort. Lord, you want to give us the wondrous gift of mature Christian character, being more like Jesus, and we thank you for that. And you'll move heaven and earth to do it. Use any circumstance to do it. Amen. You are God, Lord. You have all power. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word that guides us and directs us. Amen.
Lord, thank you for being faithful in the times that we are unfaithful.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful even when we're not.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lord, we praise you for loving us even when we aren't worth loving.
Amen. Your grace and your mercy for loving us when we don't deserve it, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Lord, we praise you for service and the fact that you're here, Lord, and the fact that all of us Holy Spirits are here.
Amen. Praise you, Lord. You are here with us now. Your Spirit is here. Lord, there is a sweet, sweet Spirit in this place. Mm-hmm. Lord, we praise you, and Lord, we ask you then now, Lord, what do you want to do in us and through us? Lord, may we be devoted in prayer, and then, Lord, give us opportunities to proclaim. So, Lord, we pray now, Lord, would you do what? Lord, would you do what? Lord, help us to remember these things we've learned today. Amen. What else?
Lord, we praise you for giving us power above all the power of the enemy today.
Amen. Praise you for your power over the enemy. Amen. Lord, open the eyes of our loved ones, our family members who don't know you, our friends who need to hear the gospel. Make us ready to proclaim it to them.
Lord, help us put to death the flesh, Lord, that we may be wholly devoted to you.
Yes, Lord, help us put to death the flesh that we may be wholly devoted to you. Amen.
Lord, help us to be closer
to you. Amen. Lord, use us this week as we go out into the world. Amen. Amen. Lord, help us to humble ourselves before you, to see us as you see us, to change and fix us and mold us into who you want us to be. Lord, help us to join you in your work and what you are doing, Lord. Make us watchful to see these opportunities, Lord. Lord, help us to be sensitive to your call in our lives. When we hear it, to do it now, to do it immediately, not to put it off any longer. Lord, we pray for this country. There are many great challenges that we face now, Lord. But may there be repentance and revival. Father, thank you. Thank you for how you've spoken to us here today. I pray that as we go out from these doors here today, that we will be devoted to prayer, not allow those distractions and disappointments or even plain old laziness to get in the way. This is only possible through your Spirit, Lord. Thank you for Him. Father, may we be instruments in your hands. Would you give us opportunities to share the gospel this week? And may we be faithful not only in how we speak, but in how we live, that people see Jesus in us. Lord, would you do something wonderful in this community? You have before. Save men and women in Wonder Lake, Lord Jesus. May we be faithful to the calling you've given us as your church, Lord. Thank you for all. In Jesus' name, amen.